Well, I'm a call and response type, so good morning, everyone. Oh, I think we'll go ahead and blame that on the masks, so let's try this again. Good morning, everyone. Terrific. It's wonderful to be here with you all. We are so thankful that you've come out to worship God with us. We are so blessed to be able to worship Him in His spirit and in truth. You'll have to give me a moment here. We didn't get much of a tutorial with this, so make sure this is on. And then, that's not me. There we go. Terrific. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. Up until last Sunday, I always looked at these, and I always thought maybe they were kind of like for dramatic effect, for you to really like engage with the audience and put your foot up there. But now I know that they're screens, so that should be very helpful this morning. But as I stated, it's a blessing to be here with all of you. I will tell you that this summer has already been such a blessing for me. It's been very fulfilling, and I feel it's very fitting that because none of us have really gotten to see each other all that much and get to know each other, to tell you that it's been very beneficial to my faith, to the work. I feel like Andrew and Edwin have done such an incredible job of leading me and guiding me throughout this process and trying to help me decide if preaching is truly for me. So I really appreciate everybody's support and encouragement. I've gotten cards, I've gotten dinner invitations, I've had wonderful meals, and I really appreciate everybody that signed up to house me this summer, and of course all of the just the wonderful greetings and support that I've gotten already. So thank you so much for that, and I'm just so excited to be able to bring a message of God's word to all of you today. With all that said, I'd like to propose this situation in mind for you. Suppose we were to cast votes for the evilest king in the Bible. Who would be on your ballot? Perhaps King Ahaz of Judah may come to mind, who sacrificed false gods in the high places and utterly failed as a military leader for God's chosen people. Or maybe King Ahab comes to mind, whom it is said of that he provoked the Lord to anger continually, and he established Baal as the god of the people. Or maybe even King Jeroboam of Israel, who erected golden calves and defiled God's plan for worship, and he also worshiped false gods. I'd like to propose another king in the running, and that is King Manasseh of Judah. He was one wicked, vile man. In 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 2, we are told that King Manasseh did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. Despicable practices. Sheesh. Knowing how bad these other kings were, what could possibly make this king so evil to stand out above the rest? I'd like to do a little bit of a character study here, and let's dive in to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, where the life of King Manasseh is recorded. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 1 through 5 read, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had broken down. And he erected altars to the Baals and made Asheroth, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the houses of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. The first thing that I want to notice about King Manasseh is that he is the evil king who abandoned his parents' teaching. Hezekiah was a great king for God's people. He worked tirelessly to restore proper temple worship, to correct the order of the priesthood. He made many great reforms for God's people. He turned them back to God. He allowed the people to begin re-celebrating the Jewish holidays that had so long been ignored and forgotten. Hezekiah did tremendous good in the eyes of the Lord. And therefore, he set the perfect example for his son Manasseh. But we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verses 1 through 5 that Manasseh had abandoned all his father had done. He undid all that his father worked to do. Where his father reinstituted proper temple worship, Manasseh rebuilt the high places. Manasseh undid all of the work that his loving father had done. He had been given the perfect example to follow. But instead, this wicked, evil king forsook the Lord. And he abandoned all of the great lessons his father had taught him. And walked his own path of despicable sins and unrighteousness. Manasseh lived a complete 180 from his righteous father. But I think even more striking about this is that Manasseh rejected the relationship God had with his fathers. Manasseh could have sat down with any given person in Jerusalem, anybody in Judah, and talked to them about the wonderful relationship that God had with Judah. He knew that God made a promise to the line of David to restore them and bless them and uphold them. And he knew that God had a special relationship with these people, that he had a covenant with these people. And yet he disgraces the name of God. And not just for Hezekiah did God show favor. It was all of the kings of Judah. And God delivered them time and time again in distress when the kings would call out to their God. Manasseh knew that if he dwelled with God and worshiped him in spirit and in truth and served him, he would have prospered. This king was one absolute failure in the Bible. The second thing I want us to notice from Manasseh's rule is that this is an evil king that caused others to suffer. Countless lives suffered at the expense of Manasseh's rule. He did awful, vile things. And many people paid the price because of this. In 2 Chronicles 33, verses 6 through 9, it says, "And he burned his sons as an offering in the valley in the son of Hinnom, and used fortune-telling and omens and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And the carved image of the idol that he had made in the house of God, of which God said to David and to Solomon his son, 'In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all of the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will no more remove the foot of Israel from the land that I appointed for your fathers, if only they will be careful to do all that I have commanded them, all the law, the statutes, and the rules given through Moses.'" And then in verse 9, Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. Among those that suffered first and foremost as a result of Manasseh's rule were his own children. He caused his children to suffer. We're told in verse 6 that he instituted idol worship, and as a result of that, he burned his sons as offerings to false gods. There is a special role for him to play in his sins of leading his sons into idol worship and then killing them as a result of that idol worship. He was a terrible father, and his children paid the price as a result of that. And furthermore, he caused the entire nation of Judah to suffer. The people knew God. They knew the God of their fathers. They knew that he was righteous and just. But there is a special share of blame to leaders that lead the people astray. And Manasseh, as their king, should have pointed them towards God, not away from God. He caused the entire nation of Judah to suffer. And even worse than this, the entire nation of Judah was now less righteous than God's enemies. The enemies of God's chosen people were now more righteous than his own children. And all of the blame points back to King Manasseh. His failure to lead in the family and as a king is inexcusable. The people fell back into the pattern of wickedness that so many generations before them had continued to do. Surely, with all of the suffering and wickedness that came from his poor leadership, Manasseh deserves to be named among the worst. And finally, I want us to notice that this wicked king, this evil king, refused to listen to God. Let's read verses 10 through 11 of 2 Chronicles 33. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria, who captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him with chains of bronze and brought him to Babylon. What we can learn from this is that God tried to get this king's attention. God tried to get this evil king's attention. And he tried two ways. He tried this the easy way, and he tried this the hard way. The easy way was by sending his prophets to speak to the king, to plead with him, to repent and turn from his evil and wicked ways. And secondly, he tried the hard way by bringing him down off of the pedestal the king had placed himself upon. He pulled him from his role of king and led him into exile as a slave, being held captive and pierced through with hooks. The Lord brought Manasseh down off of his pedestal of wickedness and of power and had him captured by God's own enemies, the very enemies that God had defeated for his people as their warrior. Time and time again. From a life of luxury in a palace to being bound by chains and pierced with hooks like a slave, it was then King Manasseh met his bitter end. And he had it coming. Except King Manasseh didn't meet his bitter end. What we find here in 2 Chronicles 33, in verses 12 through 13, that when Manasseh was in distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord his God. And he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And he prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty and heard his plea and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord was God. What I want us to see here as this evil king and all that he had done and all of the unrighteousness that he had lived in, abandoning his parents' teaching and his father's example, causing countless lives to suffer as a result of his poor leadership among those his family and the people themselves. And finally, when God tried to get his attention, he did not listen. Not at first. But we find here that Manasseh entreats the favor of God in distress, in his dire circumstances, in his suffering. He looks to the Lord his God. And God gave Manasseh a second chance. And so, in terms of application, I want us to know that God gives us a second chance. I know that you're listening this morning and you have a past. I know that you've made bad decisions. I have made bad decisions. You have sinned and committed acts against God. I have sinned and committed acts against God. We all have. We all have fallen short and transgressed God's perfect law. But you're no Manasseh, and I'm no Manasseh. The fact is, there's nothing that any of us could do. There's nothing that we could have done. There's no past that is so dark that God cannot forgive us. There's nothing so bad that we could have done that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cover. Relating to Manasseh, God is willing to give us a second chance even if we have abandoned our parents' teaching. Even if we were raised in the church and our parents were elders or deacons and they brought us into Sunday Bible class and we always attended services. But then as we grew older, we fell away from God. We were no longer active in the church. Even if we lived a life in our youth that glorified God, and we no longer do so, and we pay no longer any attention to the lessons and experiences that our fathers and our parents tried to instill in us, God is willing to give us a second chance. And secondly, even if we have caused others to suffer as a result of our past, God is willing to give us a second chance. Thinking back to Manasseh's story, his children suffered. He burned them as offerings, as sacrifices to false gods. Now, at least not directly, on the surface, we don't sacrifice our children to false gods. But have you ever gotten an abortion? Have you ever lived a life of pleasure, serving yourself, worshiping the desires of the flesh, and as a result of that, an unborn baby paid the consequences of that? Even so, God is willing to give us a second chance. God is willing to forgive us and put our past behind us to wipe the slate clean. And finally, God is willing to give us a second chance, even if we have refused to listen to him before now. We may have already sat in services and been called to repentance. We may have already studied and come to know the truth of God's revelation for mankind, that Jesus came and lived and died and was resurrected, and in doing so, in his sacrifice, abolished the chains of sin. And as Brother Hagamo mentioned this morning, he reconciles us with God in his sacrifice. We may even know the truth of that. We may have heard countless lessons on such ideas. But we have refused to obey the gospel call before now. So listen now. God is willing to give us a second chance now. We may find that the last few months have been trying, that we have been afflicted and suffered loss after loss in these unprecedented times. Like King Manasseh, whose kingdom was literally taken from his hands and taken into exile, we too may have suffered much loss lately. We may have lost our jobs. We may have lost loved ones recently. Maybe even our homes. Maybe happiness has been taken from us. But in our affliction lies God's word, waiting. Waiting there to restore us. And for those not willing to humble themselves like King Manasseh, we may find that God is so loving that he does the humbling for us. And all we have to do is listen. He is willing to give us a second chance, just like the evil king Manasseh. This king who committed despicable acts in the eyes of the Lord. We are told that his past was forgiven him. And so our too past can be forgiven. Wherever you come from, whatever life you used to live before now, whatever burdens from your past you carry, be assured. The God of second chances is ready and able to forgive you, to forgive every single one of us. If this wicked, evil king can find repentance in the Lord, then too can we. Before we close, let's visit Manasseh's repentance one more time and read again. And when Manasseh was in distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty and heard his plea and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord was God. If you read on in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, you will find that King Manasseh got to work with the second chance that God was willing to give him. He began to make the reforms and live the life that his father would have wanted him to. He dwelled with God and established God, the God of his fathers, as the God in Judah. But unfortunately, sometimes the narrative has already been written. Manasseh today, thousands of years later, is still remembered as a failure of a king. He's still an evil king to us. And you'll find that the parallel account of the kings in the book of Kings doesn't even record his repentance at all. Just says that he lived wickedly and unrighteously and that he died. And so sometimes our narrative has already been written. No matter what life we choose to live now, whether that is in Christ or not, our past may already define us in the eyes of others. We may always be remembered for the sins that we committed. Now that we are a Christian, our family that we had wrecked before may never forgive us. Our children may always hate us. Our parents may never talk to us again. People may never forgive us for the mistakes that we committed prior to becoming a Christian. But we can have peace in knowing that the God of second chances has forgiven us. And in the end, where we stand with God is what really counts. And so therefore, like King Manasseh, despite the narrative already been written, we too should make the most of the second chance that God is willing to extend to us. As we close this morning, I want us to remember that no matter what we've done, in the end, where we stand with God is what matters. As long as we make the most of the second chance that God is willing to give, then no matter who we are, what we've done, we can have peace with God, the God of second chances. And so, maybe your past is haunting you. Maybe you've made mistakes and you haven't taken hold of this second chance that God is willing to give. Maybe you've refused to listen to the gospel's call, to the good news that Jesus reconciles us with God through his death, burial, and resurrection, in the example that he lived for us. Then take hold of the second chance that is before you now. And then after you've taken hold of that second chance, make the most of the second chance that God was so lovingly willing to give you. Serve Christ. Respond to the gospel that Jesus died for our sins. Confess him as Lord. Repent of your sins. And be baptized to walk in the newness of life. Like King Manasseh, who found repentance in the eyes of the Lord and entreated the favor of his God and was forgiven his past, through Jesus, we find the same thing today. So if we can help you in any way, then do not delay. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing?